Well, we're now going to begin our lunch presentation, which is entitled ADR and Energy Cases. And we have David Harrell from Loch Lord, who's going to be with us speaking about ADR and Energy Cases with us here today. He's a partner in Loch Lord's Houston office and serves as the co-chair of the firm's litigation department and chair of the firm's international arbitration practice group. Has a worldwide practice, literally worldwide, across five continents, represents clients all over the world, and has chaired the business law section and the ADR section of the State Bar of Texas, and has served as an adjunct professor at the University of Houston Law Center, teaching international arbitration advocacy, and was recently named an ADR trailblazer by the National Law Journal. So we're excited to hear from David on ADR.
So I recognize we kind of have a broad swath of practice areas here. People who do transactions that have dispute clauses that they will put in there, consider litigators and those who are advocates in arbitration. So I'm going to try and cover both of those as we talk about clause drafting and how some of these clauses get applied, some of the particular issues that can come up in energy disputes, and then talk about some of the strategy and other considerations for arbitrator selection. Q, that's your ethics credit. I was speaking at the state bar meeting back in June of last year and was getting ready to criticize a recent decision by the Supreme Court when two of the justices walked in the back of the room to hand out an award to one of the attendees. That was awkward. Also awkward is when you are giving a speech on a Friday just after the Supreme Court has come out with a new opinion that directly impacts what you're about to say, and you haven't read it. So everything I'm going to say, take with a grain of salt. There is a new Supreme Court opinion out today. Thank you, Mark, for bringing that to my attention. So he gets double credit today and also makes me nervous. But take a look at the Total Energy case that came out this morning, which is about delegation of duty to arbitrators to decide whether a dispute is or is not arbitrable. We'll talk about that in a minute. We will not talk about that case because anything I say I would be making up. We're going to start with this concept of a pathological clause. What is a pathological clause? It is an arbitration clause that is not self-executing. It has a defect in it. If you are handling an arbitration, what it means is you are likely to take a detour to the court for 1 to 5 years to find out if you are about to go and have an arbitration or have a lawsuit. You don't want those because they definitely increase the cost of your dispute, whether arbitration or litigation. So if you're taking notes on this clause, this is not something you'd want to do. This is a pathological clause and it is a no-no. But I'm going to walk you through some of the mistakes that are in this clause and things that you could do to improve that. Several issues here. This one starts with all disputes under this agreement, the parties agree to arbitrate. This jumps us right into the scope of the dispute, the scope of the clause, and who gets to make the decision, the delegability question. Does the arbitrator decide, or does the court decide? When facing this language, you've got to decide, do I want to have what would be called a broad or a narrow, or if you're overseas, a wide or a narrow clause? You can improve this by just saying exactly how you want the dispute to get decided from the outset, that any dispute arising under this are connected to the agreement. So a contract dispute, a dispute about who makes the decision on whether you're going to arbitrate or not, any fraud claims, fraudulent inducement claims, tortious interference claims, anything connected to this agreement, including a dispute as to the validity or existence of the agreement, the parties agree to arbitrate. Meaning, if we're going to have a dispute, including a fight over whether or not this is an arbitrable or a litigation dispute, we're going to have the arbitrator make that decision. If you don't want the arbitrator to decide, make it a narrow clause. But think from the outset, do I want to spend my time and my money having a fight over where to have the fight, or do I just want to move forward to a dispute resolution? Issue number two, we've got that aside. The parties agree to arbitrate. Well, that's what we're going to end up doing, right? Think about where you're going to arbitrate. It isn't enough to say you're going to have an arbitration. You've also got to think about where we're going to seat that arbitration. And the term seat is very important in arbitration law because the seat of arbitration, the place where you have the dispute, gives you the procedural law that you have to follow for questions like enforcement. If you have to take a detour to the courthouse, it tells you what law is going to apply. If it's Houston, Texas, then you'll use Chapter 171 of the Civil Practice and Remedies Code, and the Texas Arbitration Act could apply there.